welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
This morning, I'm again not going to continue with the Kingdom of God because it's that important that we need the church present for it. But I am going to minister in an area that God's laid upon my heart. Before we do, let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you today for the joy of your salvation and for the privilege of being gathered together unto you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of worship, that we can come together and extol you, lift our voice as one and magnify you, and form a throne for you to be enthroned upon by our praise. We thank you that you are present in this place today, seated on the throne of praise that has ascended to you today. We honor you, Lord, and we welcome you. Continue to speak to us, move upon us, move through us, touch our lives, touch our families, touch our homes. Lord, in all things be exalted and glorified in and through us. We ask that in Jesus' name. I just want to turn you to a passage. To talk about faith for a while, but in a different format. I'm going to turn you to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And just a couple of verses. Picking up at verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And God will bless that word to us. That's an interesting couple of verses that we've read there. They're very poignant. They are relevant words to, I guess, all of us, and we've all faced them at some time or other, that truth, and perhaps at times still may face that, especially verse 3. And all the passages we've read comes to a conclusion where it says you ask, don't receive because you ask amiss. You know, asking amiss, he goes on to say, is because you want to consume it on your own lust. And if that's all you're asking God for is for self, 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 you're going to find that that word of God is true. But also the relevancy of that is that we ask amiss. That's the emphasis that we should grasp there. We ask amiss. And whilst he gives us a reason we ask amiss, because we want to consume it on our own lusts, a real rendering of that based upon the tenure of the New Testament concerning faith is that we ask, listen carefully now, without expecting. Hear that again. We ask without expecting what we ask. We ask according to the Word of God, and yet we ask without expecting to get what the Word of God says He's promised us. We ask amiss. Of course, you cannot ask and receive from God without faith. Without faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's a starter for you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that draw nigh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Listen to that. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faithful God. Scripture causes us to be confronted with the fact that faith has an evidence. And there's an evidence of faith. We thank you that faith, we thank you, Lord, that faith is evidence-based. Hebrews 11 says this concerning faith. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's substance based. It's evidence based. You know, if you've got faith, then the scripture says faith is the evidence of things not seen. Oh, so how can you, Pastor, say that there's faith there? How can you say that's a picture or a description of faith? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Because faith is evidence based. The evidence of my faith is not that I've got it, but my attitude towards the fact that it's coming. I have it. You understand? Faith isn't getting something. Faith is believing it enough to let the world see and know that you've got it. Because you talk it, people want to call you a liar. Have you ever met a person like that? They're so full of faith in the Word of God, and they're true to the Word of God, and they say things, and oh, like Yonggi Chow. Yonggi Chow, who knows who Yonggi Chow is? Pastor of the largest church in the world in Korea, South Korea. How in his early days, when he started getting hold of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, that you have to believe this Word of God and you have to confess it. That he was teaching some of his young students concerning this, and he said I have. What did he need? He needed a bicycle, a table, and a chair. And he'd ask God for it. And he told his students that he'd ask God for these, and that he had received them. And so they said, oh, well, can we come and see them? And he said, well, you know, I can't show them right now because I'm pregnant with them. You understand? I'm expecting them. You know, I'm pregnant with them. I'm consumed with the fact that I've got these things. And, of course, one day it so happened that he got his chair, he got his bike, and he got his table. And he was able to take these young boys around to see that. He told them he was pregnant with it. But when they saw it, they saw that he had produced. Faith always produces what God's promised. And we need to get hold of that. Faith is something that's alive in us. It's the release of the Holy Spirit in us to accomplish and do whatever the promise of God has said. And it's because of that that we are able to declare the impossible as being possible. Declare that we have the things that God has said we have because he said it. Not because I've got it, but because he has said it. Hallelujah. How many of us Christians poo-poo that, you see? And we poo-poo it because our minds can't line up with the Word of God. You don't believe God with your mind. By faith you believe him. You believe him with your heart. Not with your understanding, not with your mind. Your mind will always challenge the Word of God because God's Word in the natural is impossible to be fulfilled. It's only fulfilled not by might or power, but by God's Spirit. Anyway, I want to turn you to a wonderful passage this morning, wonderful for me, because of the fact that it opens up so much to us. I'm going to turn you to First Epistle of John, chapter 5. First Epistle of John, chapter 5. And I'm just going to read this to you this morning. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, and I am then just going to expound little bits of it as the Holy Spirit enables me. But I'm going to read, this chapter 2. Will I read it all? Okay. You can put it up if you find it. 1 John chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, and everyone that loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, but for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness. Because the Spirit is truth, and there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And God will bless that word to us. Father, we thank you for it. You know, church, we're not meeting for prayer tonight. But I want to stress to you the importance of prayer. You need prayer for your own life and for your own well-being and for fulfilling the plan and purpose of God. If you're in a family, you need to pray for your family. If you're a Christian and you're in this church, you need to pray for the work of God in this church, that this church will truly be visibly seen by those outside as the dwelling place of God, where the presence of God can be found, where the vessels of God are evidently carrying the life of God in their lives. But beyond that, we need to be sensitive to the importance of prayer, for only the saints have been given authority to salt this planet. Salt purifies. And the body of Christ, the church, this local church, every local church, are called to salt this earth. And we need to pray. When there's a prayer meeting in this house, you need to be here. You need to get here somehow. You need to pray daily in your own life. We need to pray, as I've said, for ourselves, for our families and so on, but we need to pray for our nation. Our nation, the UK, is in chaos, but it's not alone. The world is in chaos right now. Everywhere you look, there are wars and rumors of wars. The latest one, if you like, is a facing up with Iran and the UK over these oil tankers. The UK have had to send 2 warships out there so far already. But that's just one of many, many things that are happening around the world. There is a need in our own country to really get hold of God. We haven't got much time left to make sure it's taking place, that we have the right man or woman as prime minister for our country to take us through these perilous times. I honestly believe, and I'm not a scaremonger, and I'm only talking this way because we're a people of God. And I have an accountability before God for this flock and the way he's able to function through us and use us. But we need to take hold of prayer for our nation and for our prime minister right now. Because I believe that as bad as the Second World War was, and I'm not talking now about a possible future world war again. I'm talking about something far more worse than that. I'm talking about the Antichrist preparing things for his coming and the fulfillment of the word of God. It's rapidly, rapidly, rapidly taking place everywhere. And we need to pray into that. We need to be those that get hold of God because of the knowledge of the word and pray into it. So we need a man or a woman who's going to be able to take us through a situation far worse than the Second World War. Far worse. Because we are the vanguard church. We're alive today to salt the earth at a time when the planet is being prepared by the purpose of God for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes a manifestation of the enemy. We need to understand that prayer is not an option. Prayer is not an option whereby we say, "Oh well, I'd like to do this tonight instead." We put prayer at the top of our list, not the bottom. We don't make it something is an option. I want to tell you, for you, the saints, and especially a body of people in a local church, prayer is not an option as a local church. The local church should be present in prayer. The whole of that local church should present themselves biblically to pray together. There's no options. The church today, and we're part of it, and we're part of the process to some measure that's taken place of just walked away from the principles of the scriptures. We've become lukewarm, as Revelation speaks of. So I want to urge you to pray. That's not a rapping of the knuckles. Believe me, it's not. It's an urgent need for all around us as an evidence that there's only one power, there's only one source that can bring change and stop to any degree what's taking place, and it's God. And he needs to be released to pray according to. Don't worry, Philemon, blessing is a blessing. So she can do that, and she's still blessed, and we are blessed. Amen. So prayer. Let's quickly look at just a little bit of this, and we will go. I want to take you to Ephesians 5, 1 John 5 again. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot, I want to stop you about here, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Now that's a commandment I've just read there. Have I got your attention? Let me go through with that here again. Can you go back down to whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him. Can you put the others on? Could you go down the next 2 or 3 verses and keep it all on for me? No, you can't keep it on together? Don't worry. Just take me back to verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, hold your breath there, And everyone who loves God, right, who begot, also loves him who is begotten. What's it telling us? It's telling us this, that we are to do two things. We're to love God. And we're to love God, and we're to love everyone that God has brought onto this planet. We're to love them. We're to love them. I'm talking about the beginning of faith. I'm talking about us doing exploits in the name of the Lord. That's the scripture here. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who loves him, should put a circle around that in your Bible. Whoever loves him, also who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this, and underline that too, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, I want to tell you, unless we do this, we don't love God and we're not keeping his commandments. Can I say it again? Pretty heavy. Because I'm talking about the realm of faith. I'm talking about the ability to have evidence-based faith. We're going to get there even deeper than what I'm just saying right now. We need to experience, live by, evidence-based faith. How could you say you love me and you hit me around the head and you do everything despicable and you talk about me behind my back? No good telling me you love me, and you're no good telling other people you love me, because that's a lie. The Bible says that. I'm talking about evidence-based faith. I wonder so many times we don't get the answers to the prayers that we pray individually as families and therefore as a local church. When faith is not functioning. See, so far, and we haven't read very much of this yet, God is telling us that faith in the local church is going to be demonstrated and easily to be able to be measured by the amount that we love each other. Because God loves those who he begets. Where am I? He loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So the evidence again is being stretched out here, saying the measure that we love God is the measure that we keep his commandments. Therefore, I think probably it's fair for me to be able to say that I and you individually are able to measure how much we love God. How? What do you mean by that? Well, simply what the Bible says. We can measure as to how much or how many of God's commandments we keep. God says, love one another. That's a simple one. This is getting down to the bare boards. But this is Christian living that God has called us to, where faith can function. When we love God and keep his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Praise God. That means we're all overcomers. That means we have no problems with this planet or the world. None of it. Now, I'm not being facetious. I am just quoting the word and pressing that home. The devil doesn't want us to hear this. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. This is the victory that has overcome the world. That word overcome in the Greek, I recall, is the word conqueror. We have conquered, hallelujah, the world. How about that? That's why we've got authority to change the statutes of man. You know, another thing we should be conscious of is what's happening with the destruction of unborn children because it's not convenient. And you know that a law was passed in the British Parliament that same-sex marriage is going to be put upon Northern Ireland. The only thing that can stop that taking place and it becoming legal in our country is a restoration of Stormont. That's the state we're in. We need to pray into that. We need to pray into that. We need to be able to be effective. Let me tell you, prayer is effective, and the saints obviously are praying. Do you know this? I don't know whether you've heard, but right throughout and the nation, and not only our nation, but there's becoming an outcry against same-sex marriage. They're beginning to sense that this is not normal. This is not right. And in nation after nation, including our own nation, the numbers of people who are rising against it is increasing daily. You need to praise God for that. And you need to continue to pray and thank Him for it. Praise the Lord. It's an abomination to any nation. It's an abomination. And we need to pray. We have the power to do that. Praise the Lord. But what I'm trying to tie in here is how all of this works through faith. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Family, that's where it starts. Who is he who overcomes the world? Who is it? Tells us there. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's where it begins. Getting saved isn't the beginning and the end. Getting saved through faith and then living by faith is what it is. Living by faith? Living by faith is simply being obedient to the word. And we are called to have faith. The church is called to have faith. That means we are called to live in a way which reveals the goodness of God. So as we are called to live by faith, that means we are called, faith begins by us believing in Jesus Christ, receiving Him as our Savior, and then the next thing is the foundation of real faith is loving one another. I'm not going to go off on a tangent. I'd like to. But if you criticize your brother and sister, if you gossip and talk about them, you don't love them. You don't love them. That's the bottom line. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether it's me or you. We don't love them. We don't love them. And we're to love them as Christ loves us. We're to love them. Faith begins in our relationship with God, but He takes it on beyond that. He communicates to us that faith is not just a conviction that Jesus is the Lord, but faith is the outworking of the will of God. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As I said, this is where it starts. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God is only the beginning. We've got to press on past there. We've got to press on to the point whereby we are loving the Lord. We're walking in obedience to the Lord. We're being the instrument that fulfills this word of the Lord in our individual lives, in our collective lives. Faith. Faith. Faith moves mountains. Faith changes everything. Faith changes the state of our nation today. Faith does. But faith will change our own home. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm going to close. I just wanted to address this passage. I want to encourage you to read and read it again. It is a loaded passage of Scripture. It goes on to tell us about prayer. It tells us this: if you ask anything according to my will, that's his word. And the word, if you ask anything according to God's promise in here, if you ask anything, he says, you know that I hear you. And if you know that I hear you, whatever you ask, you know that you have the petitions that you require of me. That's a powerful word. So read the passage, read the chapter through, and let it speak to you and let it bless you. Take it slowly. Don't read it on the basis that you're familiar with it. Read it to hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants you to hear him saying to you. You know, let me just say this before I do close. The Bible says, gives us some great encouragement concerning our Christian life. So many times the enemy's greatest strategy against us is our failures and our failings. And he holds them up in big print before us, and we feel losers. We feel, you know, how can they ever get up from this? And what if people knew this? And he works on that. But listen, the Scripture tells us in Proverbs, it says that though a righteous man or woman falls 7 times, yet will he rise again. Hallelujah. You want to be encouraged. God is on your side and mine. He is not on the devil's side. He is not the accuser. Only God is the accuser. God Almighty in Christ, only Satan is the accuser. Let's say God, only Satan is the accuser. God Almighty is on our side in Christ Jesus, and we are blessed with his blessing. Praise God. I haven't done this justice, but I'm going to leave it there. I want to encourage you to start walking by faith. Faith expects all the time. In other words, whatever part of this word of God you are standing on, maybe you've said, okay, Lord, what do I do here? I'm fearful. And you find the Scriptures that talk about being fearful, and you start to apply them. The minute you start to apply them, you've got to express faith. That as you apply the Word of God to the problem is going to disappear and dissolve. You've got to believe that. In other words, you've got to be expecting from the minute you start to act upon this Word. If you don't expect, you're going to get nothing. Faith expects. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's the evidence. Praise God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have prayed and I'm hoping for the fulfillment of that word of God promise. Faith is the substance of it. What do you mean faith is the substance of it? I want the real thing. Well, faith is the real thing. What do you mean by that? Now, I mean simply this: daily, throughout the day, throughout every hour, talking to people, you are confessing, you are thanking God that you have received what you have asked God for according to his word. And you never change your attitude. It doesn't matter whether it takes a week, a month, a year, or 2 years. You continue to confess it, though it tarry. Wait for it. For what? It shall surely come to pass. Do you believe it? In this time in which we're living in and increasingly moving into, there's going to be a trial of our faith, church. There's been a trial of our faith throughout the years, and we've received what our faith has been able to embrace. But we're moving into a bigger dimension now. It's not just you and your family, and it's not just you and a church. It's the planet totally being affected in these end times. Amen. Faith. Faith. Have faith. Have faith. Let's stand together, shall we? Demonstrate faith. Faith is not pie in the sky. Faith is steak on your plate while you wait. How do you get steak on your plate while you wait? Because you're standing on the word, you're believing the word, you're confessing the word, and you're expecting the word to be fulfilled. Amen. How many candidates for steak on your plate while you wait? Yeah, you just got to wait, but you'll get it. I promise you, you'll get it. I can tell you time and time again, I can give you experience after experience, and so can Hillary, and I'm sure many others here can. But this is a time, and I will be picking up more on it as we go ahead, this is a time when we've got to come to terms with faith. With faith. Only faith is going to make a way through the wilderness that's before us, church. Only faith. Praise God. Faith. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is not an emotion. Hallelujah. Faith is finding what God says and doing it. And it cannot fail. Cannot fail. He has pledged his word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.